I mean, you did, this isn't something you stumbled into, is it?
Well, it's something that we found. What we did was we were intentionally looking. I was intentionally looking for this kind of information, and what we found was that the only four elements of life, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, and carbon, that make up the DNA in our bodies, are the only four elements, the atomic mass of those four elements are the only numbers that describe and are linked to the language in the Sefer Yetzirah describing the ancient name of God, and from that all things are made. So what we're looking at is the atomic mass number literally is the link, and from that atomic mass number, hydrogen takes on a very specific characteristic in the Hebrew alphabet. Nitrogen takes on that characteristic. Oxygen takes on that characteristic. Carbon takes on that characteristic. And it's only with the atomic mass number that that these links are made. It's the only, those are the only numeric values that will work with both of those languages. Since we found this in Hebrew, it being the most complete language, we now know it works in other languages as well, such as ancient Arabic. The exact same link works in the Arabic language the way it works in the ancient Hebrew language.
And you're saying this code spells out God?
What we found, this was within every code, there's a primer. And the primer in this case was the ancient name of God. Once we were able to find how to spell the ancient name of God through the elements of the periodic table, we knew how the code worked. We could apply it then to other portions of the genetic code. And I'll just share with the audience right now precisely what in the introduction to each cell in every carbon-based life, at least the ones that we've studied so far, the literal language, the literal text translates to the words God eternal within the body. God eternal within the body. This is the introduction to the message in the cells in our bodies. The fact that that message is there has not been disputed by the scientists and the people that are reviewing this work. The controversy isn't over whether or not it's there, because once they see the numeric links, it exists. The controversy is coming from how it got there, who put it there, why it's there. We don't know from the message precisely who God is or how this message got there.
Well, what came first, the numeric code or the text? And of course, it was the code in the DNA that came first, obviously.
Well, it appears that it was, and then we have to ask ourselves, if the ancient Hebrew alphabet, if those letters of the alphabet are actually talking about the elements of life, how did they know to assign the numbers
precisely
to those letters that are precisely the atomic mass
unless
numbers?
They were told by somebody who knew what DNA was all about?
Well, that's the possibility that many people are looking at right now.
Now, is it possible then that whoever might have genetically altered us also helped push the text a little bit?
We don't know who God eternal is, and I have to be very, again, as a scientist looking at this, the fact that we can consider biology as a language is just off the scale in terms of the way we've looked at things in the past. Taking that one step further, the fact that the first level of this code spells, admittedly, a very brief sentence, but a very potent sentence, God eternal within the body. One of the first things I did was went to the some of my statistician friends to find out what were the odds that this could happen by chance. You know, if you take enough letters out of a War and Peace or a phone book, you're going to eventually come up with something. And what they told me was, and the way they ran the statistics, that there was it's a 0.00042% probability that this message could be randomly formed. Which isn't an astronomical possibility, but there's enough there that suggests that this is intentional. It is a short message. God eternal within the body is a short message. As we go down to the deeper layers, the sentences become, literally, George, we can now delineate the beginning and the end of a sentence. While we may not know what it says, we know where the sentences exist, and they are hundreds of letters long, and as those sentences are translated, the odds should increase geometrically and may become almost astronomical.
Have you gotten other messages beyond just this one?
This is the only one that I am no expert in genetics, in linguistics, or in microbiology. I put this algorithm together. We applied it to the genome. Then I had to seek out experts in the respective fields to validate and confirm or show me where I was thinking about this wrong. And that was a laborious process. It took many months to find people willing to do that. Once that was done, I'm absolutely certain of the first layer. That process is still ongoing with the subsequent layers, and we're still looking at the codes.
What happens? What would have happened had you not picked the Hebrew alphabet?
The message, it exists in other alphabets. The key is that Hebrew, and again, ancient biblical Hebrew, it's the oldest continuously used language, and also the records are the most complete. And there's something about this Hebrew language. It comes up again and again in the Bible code, in the code that we're working now, in the Dead Sea Scrolls. There's something about the Hebrew language. It is what's considered a root or a core language. It wasn't derived from or an original language. It wasn't derived from other languages the way the English was, for example.
Well, whatever possessed you in the first place, Greg, to even think about looking into the DNA and looking for a code?
Well, George, I think, and again, this my time in the defense industry during the last years of the Cold War, I think probably influenced this tremendously. Those listeners who have either read or worked in the industry during that time know how frightening that time was and how very, very close the powers that be came to unleashing the weapons that we have in a way that is just almost unthinkable in our world today. And the sense is, and a lot of the colleagues I worked with, our feeling was if we could find a principle that was so universal that it included everyone, no one is excluded, that regardless of belief or lifestyle or heritage or bloodlines or borders, a principle that touched everyone with a message reminding us that we are, in fact, a family, and that there is something that brings us together that transcends the things that have separated us in the past, that maybe, just maybe, that would be a place to begin, a reason. As a logic-based society, we need a good reason to look at ourselves differently, and that may be a place to begin, that reason.